God's heart for the world is for the world to repent and turn back to Him. Because we are lost. We have wandered away from God, our Maker. We all, like sheep, Isaiah tells us, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And for that reason, for that single reason, God sent his only Son into the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we see in this parable, Jesus reveals to us that God, his Father, is God who saves. And he is committed to saving his people, a people he has created. He is committed to seeking and finding the lost. He is committed to seeking and finding the lost. This is what we have in this parable. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the one who came to reveal God's heart to us. Because God is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And in this parable, we see Jesus giving us this great statement. Because God does not ever want to perish, also he reveals to us that there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents, who returns to God, who acknowledges God as the one who is to be served and to be feared. That is what Jesus came to achieve. And that is why he came and he welcomes the sinners and the tax collectors. Let us see in chapter 15, verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. So they were coming to hear him. The sinners, the tax collectors, the people who were lost. And actually, this is my first point. The lost. These people were coming to hear the good news. Well, you see, here we find other people who are there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They complained, they objected to the fact that Jesus welcomes these people. Jesus welcomes this sinner because these religious leaders, they think and they believe that eating with someone at a table in those days meant close relations among those people who are at the table, who eat together, who share it. Because banquets of their times were common. And it was a common practice that wealthy people would invite their friends and their colleagues. And if you are not invited, you will be offended. You see, and no wonder why Jesus said, when you are invited, when you put out a banquet, make sure that you invite only the poor and the weak, those who will not be able to invite you back. And Jesus, as a good teacher, he wouldn't preach something that he wouldn't practice himself. And now he proved to these people that he came for this purpose. He came to save this very one. And that is why he interacted with them. And we see these leaders, religious leaders, they were objecting to that. Why? Because the tax collectors, they were corrupt people. They were taking more money from the people, and they will just put just part of the money they collected from the people into the treasury. And then they will keep the rest for themselves. And they were extremely wealthy. And for that reason, they were hated by the public by both publics and the religious synagogues and the religious leaders in the synagogues. And so these people were put out of the synagogues. They were not members because they were considered as unrighteous. The same thing. The sinners, they would be like ordinary people who have little morals, who are engaged in sins, and they are obvious people who are living in the bottoms of their in the socioeconomics of their times. People who were very poor and very sinful, and so they were also not welcomed by the religious establishment. And Jesus reveals that God has a concern for the souls of this lost one. And one soul is precious in God's eyes. And that is why Jesus would come. And so when these people objected why Jesus would eat with these people, Jesus was going to tell them this parable. And the climax of this parable was this, that God cares for these individuals, even to the point that he will leave the 99 who do not need repentance and will go after this lost soul. For there is more rejoicing in heaven over one person who repents. So he will go after the lost sheep. This is what Jesus says. He says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Here Jesus tells them that it is a noble thing to do, because this is the very reason I came into this world. I must interact with these ones. I must come after them. And these people, when they hear the good news, they may repent of their sins. And this is what Jesus says about these people are lost. And as I come and I share the word of God, they might be found. And so Jesus will go after this one. This is what he's saying. So as the shepherd in those days who tends his sheep on hills, and when the time comes to take them home, and if there is one missing, he will not go home. He cannot go and sleep. And so Jesus is saying God will not sleep, you see, until he finished the number of the elect, until he finished his salvation work, until every person that is destined for glory is saved. And Jesus will leave no opportunity but to just take every opportunity to come that he might find those lost souls. Because a shepherd will count his sheep, and when there is one missing, immediately he will leave the 99 and go after the lost sheep. And Jesus is saying, this is what I'm really doing. This is God. This is Jesus. He is not put off by the righteousness of the people of his time. And so, because Jesus wouldn't play politics, he wouldn't want to appear righteous. He is something that he wouldn't want to justify. He is the Son of God, the Holy One of God, who has seen any corruption. He is holy, and yet because he has this love for these souls, he would not fear the human traditions. He is not discouraged as he goes about finding this sheep of God. He will go after the lost sheep until he finds it. You see, so now we talked about the lost. We are lost, and a person, every human being without God who has not come to Christ is lost. And you know the contrast of lost is something to be found, you see. So anything that is lost forever until it is found. You see, how many of you today who have lost things that you haven't found? You see, exactly, it's like that. A lost soul, a soul that has no connection with God, a soul that hasn't come to Christ, it's a lost soul. And this is leading me straight away into the second point, to this point, when Jesus says he will do everything, he will leave no other opportunity, no other circumstances to find this lost soul. I say, if necessary, God will change government if that will bring you to salvation. God will move you from your place if that will bring you to salvation. God will stir up troubles in yours around you to bring you to the place where you can meet him. God will call you to visit a friend, even to hear the gospel. God will call someone to speak to you and invite you into a meeting so that you can read the gospel. God may put you in a hard situation where he can send people who can help you, not only in practical things. You see? You know, when Peter was fishing, what happened? He couldn't find, and when Jesus came, he caught much fish. And then he realized that it's not about the fish. Here there is salvation here. And so this is what God does always. And so to find the lost soul. Please, if things are hard with you today, make this an opportunity. This might be your final opportunity to turn to God and to stop trying and to stop rationalizing, trying, finding a solution with people. You need to fall on your knees and surrender to Christ, because God is in it. God is in your circumstances. Even if you are a believer also and you are finding things are hard, as if you are lost, you can turn again to Christ, because he is here to help. So now Jesus said, until he finds the lost soul, he will go after the lost soul or the lost sheep here in the text. Until he finds it. So what is the meaning of found? So I'm using the past tense of found. You see, or find. You see, what does it mean to be found? To be discovered. That is the meaning. To be found is to be discovered and to be recovered. You see, something that is no longer lost. And so this is the meaning of Jesus finding a lost sheep, so that you have returned into the fold of God. When you are found, you have repented of your sins and have come to God. So to say, I once was lost, but now I am found. If a shepherd leaves the lost sheep unsearched for, it will be an easy target to the wild animals. And God wouldn't want to do that. He wants to find you. And so now this is just a short point. So the last point that I want to bring, so I have the lost found and joy. The third point is the joy. The joy that resulted in finding the lost soul. Because salvation of the lost is the greatest joy in our Savior's heart. In his search for sinner, he goes out after the lost soul, the lost sheep in the story. Christ will take every opportunity. He will use every situation to bring a sinner to repentance. If necessary, he will do everything, because the joy that resulted in finding the lost soul is great. When a sinner repents or returns, there is a great joy within the kingdom of God. This joy is not only confined to God the Father alone, because we read in verse 7 that there will be more rejoicing in heavens over sinner who repents. But actually, there is the joy of the Lord himself. Jesus Christ, our Lord, rejoices as he finds the lost soul. This is what we see here. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully, the Bible didn't say that, he puts it on his shoulders. He rejoices over a sinner. Jesus himself rejoices. God rejoices. Jesus rejoices over the salvation of a sinner. Don't think that when you come to faith, I know there is a great joy as you repent, because you realize that heaven has broken loose and the love of God is flooding your heart, and now your eyes are being opened and you see the path that leads to salvation and leads to heavens. And you begin to see the moral decadence of your times. You begin to flee from sin. And you begin to value your life. And so even Jesus rejoices over finding you. Why? Why he rejoices? Because you were not created to be humiliated by sin. You were not created to be left in the hand of Satan. And that causes him great joy. Because he didn't labor in vain. He didn't endure suffering in vain. It's so expensive, it's so dear to him that he finished. So he faces every possible hostility so that you alone can be safe. And God cares about individuals. That is why here the contrast is between one soul and 99 souls who do not need salvation, who are already saved. So Jesus will take the lost sheep. That is what he is using. He is using the picture of the sheep as a good shepherd himself. This is what a good shepherd will do. When he finds his lost sheep, he will rejoice greatly because he didn't leave it on the hills to be devoured by the enemy. He rejoices. He takes a sinner on his shoulder. He will bring him home. And he says here, and goes home. He will save you and bring you to the right place, home. You see, because with Christ himself, here united with him once and for all, you will be led continually. You will be the sheep. That is why I think that is why we sing this song, I Want to Be a Sheep. You see, a found sheep. You see, English language is a very interesting language. You got sheep, you got sheep, you got sheep. So here the word is sheep. You see, so Jesus will bring home a saved soul. Now you are in the house of God to be cared for once and for all, and to live in the home. You are not a stranger. Now, you are not far now, but you are in the house. And so Jesus rejoices. The Savior goes after the lost sheep until he finds it. And he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Luke didn't say that he just like drag him home. He carries. And this gives us the picture of the Old Testament, Isaiah 40. You see, Isaiah 40 tells us in verse 11 that God as a shepherd, he will go after his own people, and he will look after them, and he will bring them. He said he gathers the lambs in his arms. This is what he will do. He tends his flock like a shepherd. God as a shepherd, something that was despised by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They wouldn't see themselves as shepherds because they despise shepherds. So these people, I don't think they read their Bible. When the God of the whole universe, the God they claim to be serving, is himself the shepherd of his own people. You see, who will tend his flocks, who will tend, who will look after them, who will gather them and will gather the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. You see, so this is the picture of God. And Jesus Christ here, he came and he demonstrated it, that God is God who delights over the salvation of these souls. He rejoices. So this is consistent. Jesus is doing what he sees from his Father. And that is why he came into this world. This is consistent with the doctrine of union. We have been united with Christ, united with him in his death and his resurrection. Jesus Christ is rejoicing. Now, we see that Jesus, the joy of the Lord himself. Also, we see the joy of the friends and the neighbors. And then now the text says, when he comes home, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and say, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. You see, the friends, those who love Christ, those who love him, they rejoice over his work. As a sinner repents, not only Christ who rejoices, but his friends, those who love him, his neighbors, those who acknowledges him as the Lord, they will also come and rejoice as they see this soul repenting. I got a history. You know, some of you know Nicodemus Banach and his wife Martha. Well, Nicodemus was living in Germany, and he had a friend with whom he went to the university together, Alexandria. I think they did agriculture. And so his friend went to Russia, and he was doing his PhD there. And Nicodemus was doing his master's in agriculture with his wife. And so his friend came from Russia and stayed with them. And so his friend was a believer, born again. And so they used to go to a meeting, a very vibrant meeting. And so Nicodemus was a little bit hesitant. He was not enthusiastic about souls being saved. That was his testimony. I believe he would love me sharing this. And then his friend one day, when he observed that Nicodemus was not excited about this, and he said to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was trying also to stop his wife from attending these meetings, he said to his friends, as a good friend, he said, Nicodemus, you are not a Christian. And Nicodemus, I think he shared this testimony. I heard it here only in our church when he was sharing it, when he was becoming a Christian, a member of the church. He said he wanted even actually to punch that guy, because he grew up in a very nice home. And I can testify also, he was a very gentle man with high morals. But his friend said to him, he was not a Christian. And he said his reflection was on the fact that all this, I've been going to church and I'm not a Christian. He was really angry. And then he wouldn't harm his friends. He respected that, but he asked him to leave his house. And so his friend moved out, and he went and he stayed with other friends. But he continued praying and rejoicing in the Lord with his friends. And they started to pray for Nicodemus. And so one day, there was a revival in Netherlands, and next door, I think it was like their neighbor. And so the whole group, they went to the conference. And Nicodemus and his wife, they went to the conference. And as the services went on, so one day, Nicodemus heard the good news, and he stood up and he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he was born of God. And his friends, when they saw him repenting and praying, they all came around him, and they were rejoicing and they were praying and they were praising God. They were so joyful because these souls comes to God, returned to Christ. This soul has been found. And so this is what really this text is telling us, that those who love Jesus Christ, it will be their chief joy to see a sinner repenting and acknowledging Christ, the only Savior of the world. And so that happens. So the shepherd called his friends, like a shepherd would call his friends in those days, and celebrate the restoration of or recovery of a lost sheep. In the same way, Jesus, by his Spirit, will plunge his own people, his own friend, into an everlasting joy, because this soul has come, because his work is crowned, because it's a hard work. So many of us celebrate when we finish really something that has cost us more time, more effort. So I had a professor who at Monash University in 2001. Professor Ray Hodges. He was a world-class professor, and I didn't know that he was a Christian. So he got this machine. We were just doing like a chemical experiments, and the machine was not working. And he went and he brought his tools, and he asked us to go and have a drink, and he went on fixing. And he went on fixing and fixing and fixing. And then after that, we came back, and then something, the machine worked, and he said, "Praise God for his mercies." He celebrated, and I took note that this man, he was a Christian. And so I went to his office, and we had a great fellowship. Well, this is what it looks like when God's grace is at work, and a sinner comes, and we, his, the followers of Christ, will feel what has taken place and will come and rejoice with our Lord together. So the last joy, and is the joy of heavens. We read that there is much joy in heavens over the repentance of one sinner. God cares so much about those who are not saved, those who are far away from him. He cares enough for them that he sent his son to look for them. And the son rejoices. And also the friends rejoices. But God himself, he rejoices over his divine work through his son Jesus Christ. One soul added to the community of faith is enough reason for joy in the heavenly places. In before the throne of God. You remember the parallel text to this text in Matthew says that this person who has repented, perhaps the world will look upon as someone who has lost his way. Being a Christian today, they ridicule Christian. They think that they are weird people. But actually, in Luke, in Matthew, the Bible says that if you look down upon these little ones, the angels will appear before God. The angels. And that is what really Luke is saying here. That there is rejoicing in heaven. Perhaps the angelic host and God the Father, they are celebrating what has taken place here on earth. Because is a collective work. God the Father, God the Son, through the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, at work to bring a sinner to salvation. And so God rejoices over this. What lesson can we learn from this text? Religious people of Jesus' time were not prepared to interact with the tax collectors and sinners. They claim to be God's servants, but the true conditions of their heart was the fact that they were far away and they needed salvation themselves. Let us not be like the tax collectors, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. We are called today to also go into the world and take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the sinners, not to the righteous people, so that when they come and all together, we can worship God in truth and in spirit. So let us take this seriously. Let us not look into our own needs. Let us not just live separately from the sinners. Let us go to them. Let us share the good news, because this is God's heart. By doing this, we will bring great joy to the heart of our God the Father. And to the hearts of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is at work, is the one who has called us to go and share the word that others may come and believe. Because that is what happened. These sinners, they were all gathering around to hear Jesus. And faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. And so as we take the word of God, people will hear of the Savior's love. and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, and they will come and return to him and be saved. Let us not be like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who were far away from God, for God is the shepherd who goes after the lost soul. By sending his son Jesus Christ, and Jesus going by his grace, pressing on the hearts of people to repent. God redeems, and God demands that all repent and turn to him. And so Jesus comes to do that. You know, Jesus said, unless you all repent, you will all perish. Yes, repentance is the key to salvation and the grace that keeps us in Christ. We have repented of our sins and continue to actively repent and reject and acknowledge our sins before God. We have to recognize that it is God's radical work through Christ that brings about repentance. And Jesus had to welcome the sinners and tax collectors that they might hear the gospel and be saved. So we have to do that as well. Jesus reveals the heart of the Father to the shame of his opponents. We learn also that God wants to complete the number of the elects. He will leave 99 believers who do not need the first encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is really a great challenge to us today. We see the same faces in our churches every Sunday. And we see little, really, souls being saved. Let us not be discouraged. As we hear this word today, let us pray earnestly for the salvation of the lost, because God's heart is that these people would not perish. And Christ is still active, saving souls. And he is waiting to be gracious. But we, as his people, we have to go and take the gospel and share it so they may hear. I remember in Gippsland in 2001, when I was studying there at Monash Gippsland, I was talking to this lady. I was trying to share the gospel with her. And she said to me that she was not a Christian. She said, oh, look, I want to show you to go to talk to another lady who is a Christian. And I said, oh, no. It's not this one who need to hear the gospel. It's you. So it's the person. You are the person to speak to. So we are to go to the one who are really lost so that they might come and believe. As a way of finishing, Jesus is the only one who reveals God's heart in seeking after the lost. Because Jesus takes delight in that. He rejoices. We see that he rejoices when a sinner repents. He wouldn't leave us die in our sins. He comes, and as he labors by his grace, he saves. Even my testimony, we will need to stay here for a long time if I have to share how I came to know Jesus. It was when everything was just really dawning upon me, and Christ saved me and brought me out. And I believe he rejoices over my repentance. And I rejoice over that salvation. He greatly, greatly rejoices when a sinner repents. And we should also be rejoicing. If you want to be happy today, some of us would want to be happy if they have more money. If their marriages are going okay, right? If they are healthy, but actually, That is not what really brings great joy to God's heart and to Jesus. It's when people turn away from their sins. So we need to put our priorities right. In order for sinners to be saved, we are to go and take this word to them. going to the whole world and not to be really righteous in our own eyes, but to open up even our churches for sinners, those who have no shoes on their feet, perhaps with bad clothes, have no food, perhaps no education. Let us take this parable seriously, because Jesus was really reacting against Pharisees and the teachers of the law, because they lost the way. And so let us not lose the way, for the great joy is here when we seek the lost. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for your word to us today. I pray for your more grace to our lives, that we may go about this business of Lord, hearing your voice and going to the world and to share your word with those who are languishing in their sins. Father in heaven, we pray that we may not be, Lord, sitting back comfortably, thinking that we might be happy, we might have joy. But Father, we realize that the greatest joy is when, Lord God, we go about this business of, Lord God, completing or fulfilling all that you have begun, because there is great joy in heaven when sinners repent. So Father, we pray that give us grace not to please ourselves, but Lord, to go outside of our comfort zone and to, Lord God, share the gospel in what today they call evangelism. But truly we may go after people who are lost, so that when we come, we can come all together and worship as 100, Lord God, people, complete in number. But we know that, Lord, your heart is to complete the number. Help us to take this vision, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.